Good day to you, and welcome to an online close-up. This is something a little different. It's longer than a normal community close-up that we do on the radio, but it is also a sponsored event as well. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down and speak with Shane Vance, who is one of the candidates for sheriff in Mitchell County in the primary that will be held early in March. Here's what we talked about. So tell me about you. Why did you decide you wanted to run?
You may not know, but in 2010, I ran for sheriff, and I was a young man. I was 31 years old and only had about 10 years experience. But I have always had it in my heart, just from childhood experiences. I was raised by my grandparents, Pearl and Junior Vance, and up at the head of Alta Pass there. It used to be called Berrydale Mountain Road, but now it's Jacksontown. Just my childhood experience with substance abuse and things that went on in my life that affected me, and I wouldn't change any of it for anything, because it's made me who I am. I want to give back to Mitchell County, because I feel like I can relate to both sides, you know, especially kids that, you know, had childhoods like I did, you know, maybe raised by their grandparents and didn't really understand, you know, the reasoning behind them being raised by their grandparents. Because, you know, a kid always wonders, well, you know, why does my parents not want me, or something like that, you know. And I come to the realization, the older I got, that stuff had just got a hold of my parents, and they were self-medicating. I forgave and forgot. And God put me where I was supposed to be, and that was with two good people. And that's kind of molded me and shaped me into why I think I would be a good sheriff, because I can relate to, there's not really a fence, but I can relate to both sides, the people that's struggling and the people that's got addiction in their families. And I'm just very against drugs, against drugs. A drug dealer, in my opinion, is the lowest of low.
Right.
I mean, not the lowest of low, you know, anybody that messes with kids and things like that. That's low, but even a drug dealer is messing with the kids, because they're tearing families apart.
They are.
And
right.
So, you know, kids are hurt and involved, and I just want to make a difference in Mitchell County when it comes to things like that. And that's the platform I'm running on, is really focusing on that and having a proactive approach. With some ideas that I have with substance abuse, using all the resources that we have in place and maybe adding some resources, and just always being an advocate for that before it snowballs and gets out of line. It's a church effort, a community effort. As a sheriff, I would like to be involved in everything that I can be involved in when it comes to the church programs and the things like that, and Freedom Life and some other programs that's out there available. You know, a lot of people, once they go down that road and they say they go to prison, they have a felony on their record. Well, they get out, nobody wants to hire them in a small county, because, you know, everybody knows everybody's business.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen? They're going to go right back to what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because what do they have? What kind of structure do they have?
Well, like, they got to have somewhere to go.
Yes.
That'll be it.
And if we can advocate to help people get back on their feet and have mentors and things that's been through it, that's actually the 6% that have overcome substance abuse, they can't say we didn't try everything possible. Like I said, the drug dealers go, I will have no sympathy or empathy for them. Yeah. I will be very tough on them, because they're the head of the snake.
Yeah, you are certainly right about that. Just a quick look at the rest of your family. Tell me about them.
Well, I come from a long line in Mitchell County, back to Charlie McKinney, of course, like most of us.
I start to say everybody but me, but I was born in Catawba County, so that's all the reason why.
Well, he may have been part of that bunch. Well, knowing old Charlie, he probably got down to Catawba County. He was a rambling man, but my great-grandma was a McKinney, and my family comes from Halltown out there on Vance Farm Road, and a lot of them's buried out there. And then my grandma that raised me, her dad was chief of police there in Spruce Pine. They called him Chili Bob Buchanan, and they called him Chili Bob because he never lost his cool.
Oh.
But when he did,
it was on.
It was on. And you know, I've got the Daytons and the Yeltons and, you know, related to other people throughout the whole county. I'm not related to anybody within the department or have no ties or no affiliation as far as family goes in the department. It's not any type of a buddy system or anything like that. I'm pretty much running on my platform. Going back, my whole reasoning behind law enforcement was my hatred for drugs and wanting to help people. I didn't see that opportunity coming up in 2006 when I left Mitchell County. And I was offered a drug task force position in Avery County. So I pursued that to get drugs off the street, because if anybody knows drugs, they know Avery County drugs or Mitchell County drugs and vice versa. It's a big organization, and then there's no one set area. So I thought, well, I'll go up there, and I did that for 9 years, worked undercover a whole lot of that because nobody knew who I was up there. I could sit and talk about stories all day of being undercover, but, you know, it's pretty sketchy places, and I don't know if many people heard of Buck Mountain and areas like that, but you're way back up in the woods. But that's the biggest part of my career was drug work. The grant ran out up there. I was having to write my grant every year, but then it came to where it wasn't even available. So we were having to rob Peter to pay Paul, and they actually put me in as the ABC officer and give me $20,000 a year to go to each bar and inspect the bars and do things like that just to be able to keep my job. And I got to worrying about it every year, you know, how are we going to get this money from this municipality? I worked for five different municipalities up there. So I had a lot of people to try to keep happy. And we were pulling the money in, but it was every year a struggle. So I was offered a job in McDowell because I actually did some undercover work for them while I was working in Avery County. So they knew me. So I worked down there for a couple of years. Then I came up and worked at the prison for a year until something came back up and went home. I worked here at home, and then an SRO position came open at the schools, and I took it for 5 years and got to know the kids really well. And it was a very fulfilling part of my career because I ran into kids that was in the same situation that I was in. And they called me Dad at school.
Hey, that works.
And I was fine with that. And some of them to this day still call me. And that's just the impact of that we need today in law enforcement because of the media always painting us to be the bad guy. So the kids being able to look up to me and say, hey, he's not a robot. You know, he's not this guy that we see on TV. Now, we can come up to him, give him a hug, or rub his bald head, and he don't get mad. You know, they rub my bald head for luck at school. And you know, I'd let them do it. And I'd sit down and eat lunch with them and things like that. I'd especially the ones that I knew their family backgrounds and things like that, I'd pay special attention to because a lot of people don't understand that's the only place some kids get a meal. That's the only place that some kids get peace and quiet.
When you were a part of the SRO, your SRO experience, you came up with some sort of a special thing, a medical kit, wasn't it? Or something. What would you call it?
What it was we were looking into safety plans and things that we could put within the school system. We looked at statistics from Sandy Hook and Parkland and other past shootings, and these kids had injuries to their limbs, and they said that if we would have had stop bleed kits with tourniquets in those schools, that 90% of those kids would have lived. So I thought of an idea of getting these kits in all of our schools. And I actually reached out to my Uncle Alex Glover, that he's on the hospital board, and they got all that together and got us kits. And we went around all the schools and trained the teachers how to use them in case something like that happens. You got to be prepared, you know. And if you can save a life, you can save a life. I looked into that and got that in order. And other counties seen that it was done here. So Yancey and Avery followed suit. They put the stop bleed kits in their schools. That was something that I kind of pushed and got it done. And it was actually in the newspaper. So anything that we could have done like that, you know, to save a life if the worst case scenario ever happened.
drug crime, really, you might not think it is, but it's a big, it's one of the biggest parts of what goes on, even in Mitchell County.
It is, and like I was talking about the head of the snake earlier, you know, drug crimes make up 80% of your crime.
Really?
80% of your crime. So that's why I'm so hard against drugs. These people that get addicted commit other crimes because they run out of money, run out of resources. So they want either turn to selling drugs to be able to keep up their own habit, or they'll break in somebody's house and steal things and carry other things off and go to a drug dealer and trade it for drugs, or they'll go sell it and get drugs. And then you talk about domestic violence. It involves alcohol or drugs a lot of the time. Sexual assaults, lots of times drugs are involved in those. I did look up the amount of people in prison. 78% of them were on drugs when they were doing what they got caught to go to prison. And some are there on drug charges, but 78% was at least involved in drugs. So, yeah, it's a number one issue. And we can see on the federal scale right now how big of an issue it is. Being dealt with on the federal level, and it needs to be addressed in the county level too, and that's something I really, really, really have the heart to do. You know, we get that percentage down of people on drugs and people selling drugs and start making examples out of the drug dealers, the 80% is going to go down.
Yeah, I mean, it will. Yeah,
that's just how the numbers work.
One of the things that you would have to do, now it's real easy to talk about drug programs and the various different programs like that, but also one of the things the sheriff has to do, and I'm not even getting into the fact that you have to deal with the general public,
right.
You would be managing a pretty good-sized staff. There's a lot of deputies and stuff like that. What's your experience with that, and kind of how do you think about that part of it?
The staff... We've got good officers. The staff and managing the staff is all about structure. And to me, as a sheriff, being out in the community, giving people, you know, your phone number and always being open and for them to call, not really micromanaging things, but, you know, just listening to people. But as we need more staff, we don't have enough staff. I would like to promote, you know, sending people to more training and things like that. And we really need at least 4 more officers. I would like to get an animal control officer in place that does civil process along with that. And we need a full-time transport officer, being that we don't have a jail.
Yeah.
Because us being short-staffed, it takes us about 3 hours to process someone we arrest, and that leaves another officer or 2 officers by themselves here, and also leaves the county open. And I understand, you know, it's going to take money to do that and resources to staff a jail and have a jail. But I think that we need some more officers in place for certain. And each officer have a job title, job description,
right?
Things of that nature. Just basic structure is what I'd like to put in place. And going back to supervising people, I supervise a lot of people. Not in an office capacity, but when you supervise 700 kids or 780 college kids or supervising confidential informants, you know, that's a lot harder than supervising officers because, you know, you have...
Yeah, they're pretty...
Yeah. I mean, your officers, for the most part, should know what their job descriptions are. And the sheriff shouldn't have to do a whole lot if they're doing their job and treating the people the way they should be treated.
Yeah. Well, the idea of having and to have someone that it's their job to keep everything going with this transport and things, because that's going to be... We're going to be doing that for a while.
It is. It's inevitable.
Yeah. And animal control, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because that is something that you guys have to deal with, that sometimes it's not that big a deal, and then sometimes it's way back up there in the woods, there's a mess going on.
It is. And, you know, we've got laws in place that, you know, North Carolina General Statutes have put out there but we don't have really a designated person to enforce that. And, you know, we get at least 3, 4, or 5 calls a week about, you know, dogs running at large, things like that. And, you know, it's hard because, you know, we live in the woods, and sure, it's tough, you know, and they get in and kill and people's chickens and do things like that. And some of those dogs are unspoken for, and, you know, you don't know who they belong to. But yeah, that's something that, you know, would keep an officer busy, mm-hmm, and I think it's needed. I think it's been needed for a long time, mm-hmm, and even to be a liaison to the animal shelter.
Right.
You know, somebody they can reach out to and work with them one-on-one.
Yeah. Well, and that interdepartmental stuff like that, like with the animal rescue there, that's something that you would have to do all the time, I would think, because like you say, you never know. You never know.
You never know.
Let's just pretend for just a moment that all of a sudden you can snap your fingers and make the new program or something different that you might like think we might all do. And what would it be? I know it would be something to do with drugs. What you got up your sleeve?
Well, I have been talking to some counselors and actually had dinner with their family and try to put some things in place of a project that I'd like to put together. And to have resources for people, and some law enforcement officers have shook their head at me about it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because unless you try this, you don't know whether it's going to work or not. And I believe in giving it a shot.
Sure.
But these, like I was speaking earlier about, you know, becoming a felon, there's some of these people that's 19, 20, 21, younger generations that get caught up in the wrong crowd, which is easy to do in rural, small areas.
Sure.
And they get caught with some drugs, and they're a felon right there on the spot.
Right there.
And one of my biggest ideas was having a counselor available that could set these ABC standards and hold on, because you have to send those drugs off to the SBI lab anyway.
Yeah.
And it takes a few months for it to get back. So hook them up with these counselors that have been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the resources available, not just, you know, somebody that I've cherry-picked, you know. But some that has really reached out to me and wanted to do this program.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a second chance type program. And if they don't complete what the counselors do, then we'll go ahead and go with the charges.
Sure.
And the second, you know, this is not for drug dealers. This is for, you know, first time offenders, low level offenders.
Well, and you'd look at each one and know.
Oh yeah, and you'll know what level of, and that's what the counselors would do. Would be able to sit with them in a private setting if these people agree to do this. You know, you can't force it upon anybody. But you can say, look, I mean, you're going to have a felony on your record. It's going to be hard for you to get a job. Try this counseling. And try to save a life on my part as sheriff.
Yeah.
And try to keep the snowball generational effect of the way drug abuse is. Because in the grand scheme of things, just like my childhood had... My parents had an avenue or went to counseling. You never heard of counseling back then.
Oh, no.
But if they'd have had that, could they have been straightened out? Could things be different if they'd have had just that opportunity? And I don't believe there's enough opportunities out there for people who want help. And then there's the stigma behind all of it.
Yeah.
You know? And I want to get rid of that stigma. And that by no means says that I'm going to be weak on drugs. That's just me wanting to save lives and give people an opportunity to better themselves before they go down that road that they can't come back from.
Yeah. We have some fine mental health services available in our community.
We do.
But sometimes,
they're slammed.
Yeah. But sometimes it's just hard to even figure out where they are or what to do if you need
them. Right.
And anything you can do to keep that organized and keep that going, especially with young folks that, like, you know, like you said, they become a felon and there you go.
And we've got drug court in place, and we've got, you know, what's called a 9096, which is similar to what I'm talking about here without the court system being involved. When you get a 90-96 on a drug charge, if you complete a year's worth of staying clean, doing this, that, and another, you don't have a felony on your record.
Yeah,
so I'm just trying to extend that for certain individuals that, you know, after they get their assessment, and if the counselor says, I don't know, they're pretty deep into it, that would be between them and the counselor, you know. Yes.
You have plenty of things for your hat. That doesn't need to be one of them.
Right.
Of course, interagency work, you don't have any problem with all of that. I guess, you know, you'll have to deal with the politicians. You yourself kind of be in one because you have to ask for votes. But at the same time, we all have to work together.
Absolutely.
You know, and if we didn't learn anything else from Helene, we better work together or we're going to float down the river.
Absolutely. You're right there. And, you know, we can come together as a community. And I think we can do a lot as a community together. I mean, we proved that.
Yeah.
We've already proved that.
Oh, yeah, man.
The people that came in here after Helene, they couldn't believe, you know, they were telling us it was going to be 3 months before we had power again. And they came in, and we already had the power lines cut out for them to get to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with being a sheriff and being in law enforcement. You know, you got to have the community involved.
Yeah.
And as a sheriff, you got to have your phone open.
Yeah,
and you've seen my phone go off like 37 times since I'm sitting here, and I'm not elected, but I have put my phone number out there for people to call me.
Yeah, that's good too.
And you know, if they have questions, I want them to hear it from me and give them the best answer I can.
And of course, I think as sheriff, the sheriff's department takes care of at least part of what goes on in Bakersfield, doesn't it, in the town of Bakersfield?
Basically, yeah, they have a part-time officer, which is a great officer. He's Billy Summerlin.
They did the best they could.
They did the best they could.
Billy's great.
But, he was chief there, and Billy's one of my favorite people, I'll just tell you.
And then, of course, we've got the bunch out at Spruce Pine, but that interdepartmental stuff, you guys just have to work together.
We
got to
work
together. You know what you're doing.
We have to. At the end of the day, you know, we're all each other's got when it comes to law enforcement, and we got to have each other's backs and look out for each other and, you know, try to do the best we can do. And I'd really like to, you know, have a great working relationship with Spruce Pine.
Right.
And especially as far as these drugs go, I would like to build a task force type situation.
Yeah.
And I've seen it done, so I know how to do it.
Yeah, there you go. So one of the other things that we need to remind everybody of is that, as kind of per usual in Mitchell County, we just talk up front, this will be decided actually during the primary.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Two of you running for sheriff, and that will be the only two that run, unless somebody does, I guess, a write-in or something. But anyway,
right.
And that would be in the fall. Election day is
being March 3rd.
And I'm not sure. I'm sure there's absentee voting dates. I heard Michael on the radio today. All that type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Folks need to be aware. Just keep an eye on it. And please just make sure, no matter whether they vote for you or they vote for Mr. Hobson, you know, vote. So
right,
that you're
get out and
heard.
Vote. Yeah, it's you know, there's a county commissioner race going on with several, you know.
That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. And you got, you know, the clerk of court. I'm trying to focus on my race and working really hard. Me and my uncle here, we've been doing everything we can possibly do. And a 40-foot up mayor yesterday putting up a banner that I've never done in my life. But I'm more appreciative than anything for the support that I've gotten from people and from family. And it means more than I could ever repay. But these people that are supporting me, they truly know my heart and my background. And I wish everybody could know what they know.
Yeah. So you got any closing statement or anything you want to say, or should we just...
Well, I would like to see the biggest voter turnout that we've seen in a long time,
mm-hmm.
because local elections are very important. And with this sheriff's race, it is very important because it's been Sheriff Street's been sheriff for a long time.
Has been.
So this is kind of passing of a torch type situation. And I want to bring some new ideas and a new face. And, you know, I'm not tied to any families or any interconnections or anything like that. I want to bring some new ideas in, get some more officers, and compete with the other counties as far as pay goes, so we can retain officers. Mm-hmm. And be appealing to cadets that's coming out of basic. Mm-hmm. To want to apply at Mitchell County, and support the deputies all I can as far as training and equipment and things of that nature. And eventually on down the road, I would like to look into some grants for a jail. It's my understanding they just got a $1.8 million grant for emergency management facility.
Yeah, I was just hearing about that earlier today.
So I believe, you know, I mean, if there's money out there for that, there's money out there for other things. You just have to have the want to.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to put no burden on the taxpayers right now.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
I mean, we're hurting as a county, and I'm sure other counties are too. We're still trying to rebuild. Still waiting on FEMA checks and things like that. I want to say around $18 million or so dollars. Now's not a real good time to even pursue a jail, but I feel like if I am elected, that if I can get in this first time, I feel like that people will notice the difference really soon. And I feel like that I'll be a long-term sheriff, because they will actually see what I've been saying, that this guy was sincere. And he's going to follow through with that. With that being said, I just encourage everybody to get out and vote. Vote for Shane Vance for sheriff if you feel that in your heart, and I'll end it with that.
Okay. We appreciate Mr. Vance coming over and working with us and letting us know why he would like to have your vote for Mitchell County Sheriff in the upcoming primary election. Please understand this will not be on the radio. It's only available here on the website. You may share it, tell folks about it as much as you would like to. And this type of service is available if you'll just call 765-7441. When our system picks up, press 2. You can also email 1470@wdtoe.com and get the ball rolling. We'll tell you what it is all about and how it works. And it is a sponsored event. And again, thank you for listening to the first ever online close-up.